Well, hello. My name is Frank Sanchez. I'm from Calvary Chapel of Redlands. I'm the college pastor over there, about 40 minutes from here with good traffic. Most of the time, though, it's about 2.5 hours out here on the 91 over to the 405. This first session is entitled Being the First Call Drummer, and let me explain what I mean by that. I'm a drummer first by choice and desire of profession earlier in my life. I've been playing since I was about 15. I'm 30 now. And you can close that. That's fine. And in between those times, about maybe 6 years ago, I became the worship leader at Calvary Chapel of Redlands. I also play guitar. And God chose at that point to sort of have me focus in on that area of life. And so I have a unique perspective in that not only am I a hired drummer, people hire me to play for them on occasion, but I also hire people. I make a call, and the first person I call is my most desirable drummer, the one that can fit the bill the best, the quickest. And there's some criteria that I have for those people that I call first. I have about maybe 8 drummers to choose from, for the most part, and there's an order, there's a pecking order to them with regard to how much work I'm going to have to do with them versus my first call drummer, who I'm not going to have to really work with at all. He makes my life really easy, and that's really our job as drummers to do that. So what is a first call drummer? That's what we're called to talk about here today, and that's what I want to demonstrate to you or talk to you about. I will be playing some this session. I'll be playing more in the session after lunch. I always play better on a full stomach, so that's what I'm hoping will be accomplished. In any event, when I was thinking about this topic, I thought about several things, and it's always interesting to me that I get the call to do this after I've had some brainstorm. Usually I'm in the shower and something will come to me because my primary drummer, who happens to be my brother, oftentimes has to go and get called. He plays for people like Sparkle Pop and The Hollow and those kind of people. So on occasion I'll lose him and I'll have to make a call. And I was thinking, who is it that I really want to call? What is it that I want to define as my first call drummer? And I started writing these things down in my journal. And then that next day, Scott Cunningham called and asked if I would do this again. His secretary emailed me. But these are some integral ingredients to being a good worship drummer. And this comes from my perspective. Obviously, there's some Christian things immediately that you have to take into account. Obviously, you need to have a servant's heart. You need to have a servant's attitude. You want to make that worship leader the best worship leader in town. You want to make him the very best that he can be. You want to serve him in any capacity that you can. Under that comes with being on time. That comes with, like, if you have a setup time at 8 o'clock and your service time goes off at 9, you have an hour to sound check, you need to be there at 7:45 loading in your equipment, setting it up and tuning, and you know what you guys do. Everybody knows what they do. They, you know, fool around on their kit, you know, trying to make sure all the sounds are right, all the cymbals are in the right place. You get there earlier and set up. That's part of the servant's attitude. And when you're done setting up, help others set up. Help your guitar players. Help people bring stuff in. You got to have a servant's attitude. And that's the first person I call. If I have a rough time dealing with this person because he doesn't want to show up on time or he wants to make me work more for him than him working for me, I likely won't be calling him more than once. He'll likely move down the list a little bit. So servant's attitude, obviously, that also goes with just blessing the people that you're with and just being a Christian who's mature. Because with being on stage comes a lot of attack, but it also comes a lot of personal issues between you and the sound guys telling you to turn down and everybody getting all riled up. Well, I'm going playing as soft as I can. Well, if that's the case, he would never have to tell you to turn down. So make sure with all that servant's attitude part comes all that thought of consideration, courteousness, serving all the way through, okay? That's the first thing. Now, the next thing is to be my first call drummer. If I'm going to call you, you need to be hip to what my preferences are in music. Now, as a worship leader, I prefer pretty much a straightforward sort of rock, R&B type feel to a drummer. Not a straight eighth kind of a guy. You know, not somebody who just, and let me explain what I mean. Let me show you what I mean by, this is a straight eight kind of a groove, right? You can tell there's not a whole lot of finesse in that groove that I just played. That might be kind of the groove that your worship leader asks for, and that's important for you to be able to play that authentically. But me, I'm more of a 16th note type of guy with a lot more finesse. So I need a guy, and the kind of guys that I listen to play a little bit more 16th note-y. So I'm looking for more of a guy like that who has a lot of finesse in their playing, a lot of ghost notes in their left hand. That's what I was just doing with my left hand. When you hit two and four, you obviously want to hit, you know, a rim shot. But when you're talking about ghost notes, I'm talking about those little notes in between. So they're about right here, right off the snare. So I'm looking for somebody who's very proficient in that style because that's what I like to hear. It makes it easier for me to play what I play when the drummer plays something like that for me. So you have to be, if you're going to be the first call drummer, I'm trying to look at you, but no. This first, you, yeah. Could you move over just a hair? Because I can't see you behind this cymbal. Actually, you're fine. But the thing is that, you know, I'm looking for that type of drummer. You need to find out who your leader is looking for, what kind of things he's looking for. Find out what kind of music he listens to. Ask him to burn you a CD of things that he's got in his car, whatever he's got in his car, whatever he's listening to, so that you can approximate the sounds that he's hearing. Because, again, you want to try and fit into that style for him so that he can play the style that he's been called to play, the style that he feels comfortable playing, okay? The next thing, if you're going to be worship leader, if you're going to be a drummer in a worship band, just like if you were in the world, if you were a top 40 drummer, a top 40 drummer is somebody who can play all the radio hits that you hear on the radio. So you might get called to, you know, play Jungle Boogie or something like that. Whenever I've played in clubs, I've had to learn like upwards of 100 tunes for a gig. So you might be called to be the worship drummer if you're that first call person. Then you need to invest yourself in the current worship catalog of your church. You need to get your worship leader to burn you CDs of whatever it is that they could call out. The way I lead worship, oftentimes, like on Wednesday nights, for example, we'll have a list of songs, but then on occasion I'll pull out some song from the past, and I have notebooks for all my people, and those people that are playing drums behind me have to know those songs. They have to have a reference point in their head as far as, like, if Matt Redman, you know, like if I called out The Heart of Worship, well, you know, if you think that's, you know, if you've never heard that song, it's going to be very hard for me to play that song. And I might even, if you're not playing it real well, I might just turn around and tell you just not to play. You need to take the initiative. This goes back to that servant attitude of going and finding out what is the catalog of your worship leader. So find out the worship CDs that you should have or you should have access to. Get all those down. Listen to them. Listen to what the drummer does on all those CDs. And that way, when you are coming to the rehearsal, you have the reference point of what your worship leader is thinking. But then if he goes, oh, well, you know, I want to throw this extra bar here, or I want to be able to do this fill here, whatever, you'll have enough of a reference point to be able to do that. So be very current in your catalog. How many of you guys own worship CDs that your worship leader has? So almost most of you, good. make sure to do that. If you're going to be the first call guy, you need to be knowledgeable. You need to have those CDs. You need to have them under your fingers. This is what I mean by that. When you're playing at home, when you have your radio, now I would suggest that you have a boombox set up by your kid at home, wherever you practice, and practice to those tunes so that you get them in your head. A good way to learn how to learn the tempos of them is to learn to sing them while you're playing. It really helps keep your tempo in line so you're not rushing things. So be very current. Be excellent with that regard. Go and get those CDs. If you have to buy them, consider it an investment in your career, an investment in your being called to do this, okay? The next thing, I think, again, these are kind of more drum-oriented, but you need to have steady time. I think that goes without saying. You need to have a good pocket, a good groove. You don't have to have perfect time. Perfect time does not exist except for in a studio. In a studio, when you've got a click in your ears, or maybe you play at your church with a sequencer, which we do on occasion, and you have that through your monitor. For the most part, though, music is very organic and dynamic. It's something that you kind of push forward and you slow down, and sometimes your worship leader, many of you guys have worship leaders who and guitar players who are only guitar players who have terrible time. I play for several people like that who start out songs way too fast or way too slow, and I'm always trying to support them. So whatever they start out at, even if it's the worst time, and even if you're going to be singing, "I'm coming back to the heart of," and you're going like really, really fast, and no one's really singing it like you've heard it sung, support him all the way through that, and you make him sound as though that was how he meant to go. But steady time is really important. You're never called to be a timekeeper for the most part because we're musicians. You don't just keep time. That's the whole band's job together, is to keep time, okay? I know some of your worship leaders will likely tell you that that's your primary job, and let them say that, but you know differently that time is something that the whole band does together. So steady time, groove, pocket. And what I mean by that is, like, for example, let me play you a little time, and this is just time, and you never hear anybody play like this, or at least you shouldn't. Play like this, right? That's time, right? So when you talk about time, you don't really hear a whole lot of people doing that in music, right? I mean, if you do that, I mean, maybe you're at kind of an earlier level of development. Time and groove kind of feel like this, okay? Time, groove, and feel. Say it's an R&B feel about that time, right? So that's kind of the idea of a feel and groove and how you've got time. That's all mixed in together with what you want to do. But you don't really hear a whole lot of people just playing time, but you still need to have steady time. So a good way to practice that is to practice with a metronome, of course. A sequencer is really even better because it gives you the idea of playing with other instrumentation. Playing to things that you hear on the radio, practicing what you hear on the radio. Most of what you hear on the radio is recorded in a studio, in a lab-like environment where click tracks are being used. And if you can keep up with that 90% of the time, you're doing okay, all right? So steady time, steady groove. That stuff comes with listening to good drummers. Steady groove, steady time, real good pocket. All that stuff comes with listening to the best drummers and trying to emulate what you're hearing. There's my orange juice backing up. The more that you can hear really good drummers and have that in yourself, just like when you read the Word of God, and I don't want to make any analogies that are blasphemous at all, but when you read the Word of God, sometimes you don't get it right away, right? And you're kind of like, what's this about? What does this mean? How do I apply this? And then some situation comes up, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. The Word just comes alive to you, and it governs and dictates how you begin to live or how you approach a situation. Well, the same thing happens with music. If you're listening to really, really good music, really, really good drummers, you're going to, when you come across some situation, you're going to have some idea of what a sound should sound like. All right? Now, the next thing, and this is so important. This is so incredibly important in worship music, and it's a diverse dynamic threshold. Now, what does that mean, right? Has anyone ever told you guys to play with dynamics? Anyone ever said that to you guys? Someone said that to you. All right. Let me show you a little bit of a dynamic. And when you read music, you'll see on your sheets, you'll see like pianissimo, you'll see forte, right? You'll see these large, like little lines that, like parallel lines that as it gets, you know, heavier and heavier, it gets wider and wider in between them. So like a large dynamic is somebody who can play like this. And that hurts. Anyone ringing like mine? That's a real important dynamic to play. Like you need to be able to play with that kind of strength and power when that music calls for it. But you also need to be playing at this level. Where you can almost like talk over it. That's very difficult. You need to be able to come up and down with authority. You need to be able to attack something really, really soft to where you're almost out of the picture and then come back up with great fervor. Now, I have some drummers who I've called and had to call because there wasn't anybody else who could not play with that dynamic. It was like every time they played, it was like... They play really hard all the time, and like you're trying to play the heart of worship, and man, people are just like looking at the drummer going, what are you thinking? You know, there's ways to really increase that. I would encourage you just to look, if you can practice in a mirror, or not in a mirror, by a mirror, you can look at your tendencies when you play louder and softer. I talked about this last year. Was anyone here last year that saw me do this last year? Okay, so... I'm sorry. There's a good way for you to look at yourself and where your dynamic level is. When I'm playing loud, I want my arm to move and strike. I'm sorry. She's like, oh, please, Jesus. So I want it to move and strike. Now, the other times I want to keep, and most of the time, honestly, when I'm playing worship music, because of our sound system and our building, I normally will play just above... Maybe like a hand width up above the snare drum at the most, you know, in my hand. So there's a really good way to practice that by just looking at what you're doing. If you're too loud, there's other options. For me, many of you guys use like 5B sticks that are a little longer and a little heavier, so you're going to get... Now, I'm not hitting with any more force, but do you notice how much louder that is? I'm hitting with the same amount of force, but it's much more loud than I was just using, because I was using, a minute ago, I was using 8A sticks. 7A, 8A are really light sticks. They have a taper like this, so it's really... there's not as much wood up here at the top. So there's a good way to just drop your volume right there. Not only physically keeping yourself lower to your drum, but also taking sticks that don't like require you to cut down trees, you know, in your neighborhood or whatever. So there's also other ways as far as like hot rods look like this. you know, these are really, really good for worship music. And these are called cool rods or lightning rods or even shorter taper or whatever. There's also here the blast sticks from Regal Tip that I like a lot that simulate brushes but aren't exactly. I started the morning with the... It's a good way to learn how to do dynamics, though, is to learn to play everything, play all your songs with each set of sticks, with each set of things for you to work with and master. But having a dynamic threshold is very important for one very, very cool reason. Drummers are the emotional leader of the band. I don't know if you realize that. You are the emotion behind the drums, behind the music. You are the one that cues your band about where this song is going, where it's coming from. You guys cue that. You bring the emotion. Have you ever been like in a worship service where, and this one song that I wrote a fill for my brother in a song called Here I Am to Worship by Tim Hughes. I don't know if you guys have heard that song or not, but we modulate at one point after we've sung the chorus, it seems ad nauseum, but we wrote this fill for my brother that really brings, it's just amazing because I watched the congregation at this point in time. It's just this emotional moment, and it doesn't happen without the drummer doing that fill. And then it's amazing because I watch it every week. Like, we'll play that song, and we get to that modulation point, and, you know, all of a sudden he busts in with this huge fill. And it's almost automatic. Like, people stand up, they start raising their hands. There's just this emotional thing that comes with being a drummer. You guys hold the key to that. We hold the key. And if you can't be dynamic in your playing, you can't get there. Let me explain what I mean. So, like, if you're... There's got to be a good middle ground for this. If you're playing the whole song, you know, at this level... Where do you have to go from there? You know what I'm saying? Like, volume-wise, where do you have to go? You've said everything you have to say volume-wise. You know what I mean? If you're playing like... You still have some place to go, don't you? You can open up your hi-hat... Okay, that kind of thing. And then you go to the ride cymbal. So you've got a lot of ability to grow from there. That's why dynamics are so important in music. You guys are the emotional leaders of the band, and you show where they're going, and you got to practice that. It takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of patience to do that. Because when I was playing earlier at the tiniest level, you can do that by, you can grow your dynamic threshold and your ability to do that by playing musically for like 4 minutes. That's how long every song is virtually that you'll be playing. If you can play at that small, tiny level that I was playing at for 4 minutes, you're going to do fine. All right, the next thing is familiarity and competence in various styles of music, okay? Familiarity and competence in various styles of music. Let me show you a couple of examples of things I've been asked to play based on rhythms that maybe you've never heard before. This is a couple things that I've done recently. by the way. Trading my sorrows. Let's see. Written in our church called You Are the Light. Let's see. Come Now Is the Time to Worship is another one. Section of Come Now Is the Time to Worship. These are all things that I've been asked to do in a worship setting. It's not like I was out in a club doing that. That's what I did in church last weekend. You're going, I want to go to your church, which is what we want to hear. But anyway, the first example I gave you was a samba. It's based on a one, a two, a three, a four. It's on the bass drum thing. It goes like this. The next example I gave you is called It's Over a Songo pattern, which goes. With a cascara pattern in my left hand. So I'm going, let's see if I can, with quarter notes on your right. Those are different music styles that maybe you're not aware of, maybe you haven't heard of before. And if you continue in worship music, as the genre of worship music becomes more of a legitimate genre versus like 20 years ago when it was just like choruses, some of you older guys will remember how that was like, that you sang hallelujah to the Lord for about 47 times, and it was just a chorus, and you kind of played the same thing all the way over and over again. Well, now worship music has come to a point where it's very unique, and you have to really grow with the genre if you want to be that first call drummer. Okay, an intimate knowledge of the proper sound of your kit, the ability to choose the right sounds at the right time. This is very key in worship music. Learning how to mix your drums, for example, by yourself, so that the bass drum, and this room is very difficult to do this, the bass drum's not louder than the snare, and the snare is not louder than the bass drum, but trying to mix it all together. Trying to mix those things together, knowing when to use a floor tom, or, you know, knowing. That kind of a deal, where you know how to use a cymbal the right way, knowing the appropriate time of this of the song, knowing how to crash on something or that kind of a deal, or even and just hitting them at an appropriate level, not hitting them every time you hit them, you know. Because that's just not appropriate in the heart of worship, is it? All right, the next thing is knowing how to play with the different kind of sticks, knowing how to get different sounds, playing with regular sticks, but also learning how to play with blast sticks, for example. There's a lot that I do. When we do a song like, and I'll talk more about this in the next section, but when we do a song like I Wait for the Lord, or there's another song Jeremy Camp does, I want more of you, Jesus. I forget how it goes, but it's kind of got that groove like, oh, Empty Me. Have you guys heard that song before? So like, Holy Fire, right? The big part of that song is like when you come in with the toms and you're like, you know, that kind of a deal. Well, at the beginning of that song, I like to use my blast sticks and I go... try to create a little bit of a loop with my blast sticks. So I'm able to use these sticks to give me a different sound. You know, like guitar players when they push down on their pedal and they've got a distortion sound or they've got this huge flange sound going on. Well, you guys have that same ability with different styles of sticks, using your blast sticks instead of taking your snares off, for example. You know, using your toms. Got that kind of ability to play with those instruments that you have. Another really key one, like in slower tunes that I do a lot, is I use my mallets, like for a timpani kind of effect. So like when there's some big moment or like when there's a hanging chord over the top of something, I'll tone it. Or I'll use like a... and just sort of crash things out. It gives it kind of a far away sort of a feel, even though I'm doing like... You're all, that's fun for you. Fun for me is true. The ability to mix oneself, the kick should not be louder than the rest of your snare, you know, the rest of your stuff. We just talked about that a second ago. The ability to think in parts. This is another key part for drummers. The person that I call first is able to think like, okay, I'm going to play this through the verse. I'm going to play this in the intro. We're going to talk about this in the second section even more. Diligently, but thinking what I'm going to do in the chorus. Because guys, here's the thing. When you're playing something, let's say you're playing something the first time through, the other musicians are hanging their proverbial hats on what you're doing. So if you have a bass drum pattern and a hi-hat pattern and a snare pattern that you're doing for the verse, keep that going through every verse so that when they come back, they can play those same patterns that they're playing in their music. You want to be able to serve them that way. A lot of drummers, I hear, and this time to be more gentle to everyone's ears, I'll use these. A lot of drummers, a lot of bass players complain that the bass drum pattern changes a lot. So like somebody will go. What's the guy going to do with that? You know what I mean? What's he going to do? What's a bass player to do with that kind of pattern? So when you lock into something, lock into it all the way through. Okay? So like you want to play. That's the way you're going to play through every verse, right? Now, then when you go to the chorus, it should be related to that verse, to the way that goes. But you got to pick a pattern just for that. And don't deviate from it. If it takes some time to get that pattern where it feels right, take the necessary time. But let your foot be steady so that the rest of the band. And that kills me when a drummer is playing in the middle of a verse and they throw some fill in the middle of that. It's like, no, I don't want to hear a fill right now. There are appropriate times for that. And that's the next part about this, is the ability to cue the band with good fills. So you say you are coming to the chorus of, let's see, have you guys ever heard the song Enough? Yeah. It's kind of like a pretty popular song I found with people. So you're at that point where you're going to go from the verse to the chorus, right? So I don't even remember how it goes now. Anyway, so you're going like, our thing is kind of like to go, you are my supply, my breath of life. You're more awesome than I know. See how I did that? Now let's say I'm going from the chorus to that, to the verse again, right? And I'm going to be doing that. I'm doing that kind of thing, right? I'm going to go from the chorus to that part. I'm going to fill differently, right? So you're coming out, all of you. I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to come down. I'm going to go. I'm going to do something to kind of signal the band. We're going to go verses, which will tell them, oh, we're going to get louder, more aggressive. Versus the other side, we're going to go. See what I'm saying? You're cueing the band. You're letting them know dynamically, emotionally, where you're going to be going. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment in the next session. And let's see. The last thing that I want to talk to you about is good communication interpretation skills. As a leader of a band, has your leader ever said, do this groove, boom, boom, ba, boom, boom, ba? They said, oh, you know, play this on that. Or have you ever heard they'll make reference to some song that you've never heard in your life? Have you ever heard that song in the 50s or whatever? It's like, no. I wasn't even born until the 80s, you know, a lot of you guys. But some of us are born a lot earlier than that. But anyway, the thing is that, you know, good communication begins with you, the drummer. So you talk to your leader and say, how am I doing with this fill or this set, or how did you feel about this that I did in this song? What are you looking for? And let them describe it to you. And then you have to interpret what that means. So if a guy says, well, I really want, you know, I want toms, a lot of toms. Like our high school pastor is really big into, he goes, tom, tom, tom. He's from Europe. but anyway, he goes, tom, tom. And immediately I know that he wants eighth notes on the toms. Doom, 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 doom. You know, that kind of a feel to what he's wanting to do. It takes you going and talking to that leader and trying to keep that level of communication open. Let them tell you, guys, listen to this especially. Musicians have the most fragile egos ever in all time. If someone tells you, boy, you know, you didn't really play real good this morning. I was grieved when you did that roll in the middle of, you know, in the middle of prayer. Whatever it might have been. I thought that was kind of inappropriate. Guys, don't be offended by that stuff. Go, okay, well, how can I do it better? How can I approach that a little bit better so that we can do that and make it good? You know, I want to make you good. I want to make you feel like I'm not a liability. That's my first call, drummer. All those things that I just laid out to you. That is my first call guy. Let me review them with you, and then I'll leave it open for some questions here for a minute. But I think we have to go soon. What time is this over? 11:30. Oh, 11:30? Okay. Let me go over these one more time with you just by way of mentioning them, and then I'll open it up for questions. Okay? First of all, servant's attitude. Secondly, hip to worship leaders' preference in music. Third, current in available worship catalogs. You know all the worship songs. Steady time, excellent groove and pocket, diverse dynamic threshold, pianissimo to forte, familiarity and competence in various styles of music, intimate knowledge of the proper sound of your kit, the ability to choose the right sounds at the right time, able to play with various types of sticks, i.e. rods, brushes, blast sticks, the ability to mix oneself, the kit, the kick shouldn't be louder than your snare shouldn't be louder than your kick. The ability to think in parts, playing this in the verse, playing this in the chorus, playing this in the intro and outro, playing this in the bridge, able to think that way. The ability to cue the band with good fills, like if you're going to go loud, you play into a louder fill. Your fill should get louder. If you're going back into a softer portion, your fill should get softer by the end of your fill. And then the last thing is good interpretation or communication skills. That is my first call drummer. Whoever fills those are basic requirements for me. That's like, those are the guys, those are the only guys I'll call. If some guy is rude or doesn't communicate well or only knows a couple of genres of music, only knows how to play in four, when I need to play, I need him to play in six. I need him to play in five and seven. Sometimes I need to add a bar, somebody who can read, all those kind of things. Those things I pick, I go, well, okay, I've got this song in six this week. We did I Will Praise You last week. And there's certain drummers I can't call for that because they can't play in six or three. You see what I'm saying? So you want to be a first call drummer, that's what you need to do. All right? Now, let's open it up for questions that you guys have. Remember, we're doing another session. Hopefully, you guys will all come back. I haven't scared you all away or put too much on you for this session, and you'll be able to come back for the next one. We'll talk about going through the list. Each one of us knows what a list is, right? They put it down by your kit. It's like seven songs, and learning how to play that with some creativity and some fun. And just talking about some different skills that we can work with in a list and trying to deal with that. But right now, does anybody have any questions or anything that you'd like to ask? Yes, sir.
I'm not a drummer. There's a bit about that.
His question is drummers wanting to move to other instruments and how to handle that as far as encouraging them. Well, the first thing I would do is to remind them of their first estate, the first thing that they're called to, that drums is a very important part of worship music, and that we need good drummers just like we need good worship leaders, just like we need good guitar players. Although, you know, good guitar players are like a dime a dozen. But in any event, I hope that got on tape. But anyway, the idea that, you know, if they want to do that, I always say to people, like, you fill your chair, you get me people that can do what you do. And when you can replace yourself, then let's move on. Because I need that person to function in my band as a drummer. If he wants to go and do something else, that's awesome. But I need him to train somebody and to really teach somebody to do what he does so I can do what I do. You see what I'm saying? So it's very important. The drums are so important, you guys. And it's not to diminish the other instruments. But what you're called to do, what you're called to be, is very important within the context and function of the church. Don't ever let anyone tell you, you know, they'll always use the jokes like, hey, who, you know, what's this? What's that? Oh, that's a drummer. He's knocking at the door. You know, or like, you know, there's all these musicians in a room and then a drummer walked in. You know, all that kind of stuff. So just talk about the function of the drummer and how important that is. Encourage them to learn. You know, do learn other instruments. And let me give you the other side of that. I was replaced. We have, like, I helped train all of our drummers that are at our church right now. And my brother being the first of those. When I was called to start leading worship, one of the things that really helped me be a better drummer than I was at the time when I was just drumming, it helped me to think musically. It helped me to hear that it's important for somebody to play 2 and 4. That when I'm up there and I'm leading, it's so important to hear that rhythm behind you, that feel, that snare drum right there of people clapping. So on the one hand, I would say, don't leave your first estate. Learn to do that with honor. Honor the Lord with your gift. At the other hand, I would say, okay, be responsible. Teach somebody to take your spot and do learn something musically, you know. Hope that answers your question. Cool. Any other questions? Well, yeah, it's actually more the drummer speaking to the guitar player learning. And he wants to know about increasing your lingo and how you can communicate to the worship leader what it is that he wants from you and knowing that kind of thing. So like when you're... you want to say like what that was, you know, like when Attila would say, I want to hear thon, thon, thon. Oh, you want to hear toms. You want to hear a tom groove, you know, where it's like you're playing doom, doom, god, doom, 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 doom. That's a tom, tom groove. Okay, that's that kind of a jungle feel, somebody would call it in the world. Or like if somebody wants to say, you know, I want to hear, that's a shuffle. That's a shuffle. I just showed you what one of those was, a halftime shuffle, where you're playing on your hi-hat dotted eighth note grooves. And there's not really a great way to improve that other than to, as you're working with that musician over and over again, trying to sort of get him on the same page with you that you can say those words together. Like if whenever he would say that, he would go, ton, ton, ton. I would say, till it's a tom-tom groove. That's what that is. So whenever you want that, just let me know that that's what you want. And we'll do that every time, you know. And I'll do it with, you know, he kept saying, do it louder. And so I would like, you know, I had like out my you know, my redwood oak tree sticks, you know. So anyway, but that's the only way to do it is just process of time, process of talking together away from the stage. And just sort of, you know, identifying things, like have him bring in what he's thinking in his mind, like as far as a CD, and listen to that together and identify what that is. You know, if it's an eighth note groove or, oh yeah, that's a 16th note or a dotted 16th note type groove or dotted eighth note type groove. That's the way to go. Okay? Yes, sir. The question asked was, how important is it to take drum lessons? Depends on your natural acuity and your desire to play. If you find that you're picking things up right away the way you're hearing it on an album or whatever, and other people are saying that, because sometimes we think, oh yeah, it sounds just like it, and then the guy plays and it's like, what was that? So if you have that ability and it's testified in other people's lives of like, oh yeah, you've got a real natural thing, keep going with that, then do that. Now, I would suggest doing lessons when you've come to the end of that. Because there's certain things that you can't do unless someone shows you, breaks it down for you, what it is that they were doing. Like a lot of things that guys that I'm listening to, like Vinny Caluta and Dave Weckl and Steve Smith, all these guys that I'm listening to, I can't figure out exactly what they're doing. So I buy their instructional videos. I go see them in concerts. I ask them to demonstrate things for me if I go and I see them at a club or something like that. But the thing is that it's very important if you really want to cover every base, if you want to go into this professionally, having somebody teach you is very important because you get that network, you get a reference point, you get somebody who knows somebody, a teacher who says, you know, oh, I've got this student for this gig. So taking drum lessons is very important if you want to make it your career, if you want to make it something that, and believe me, you can make a good career playing drums anywhere in the world, especially nowadays with computers and all that's out there. A lot of guys, I was just reading Dave Weckl's, and he's an awesome drummer. If you've never heard him, I'd encourage you to check out one or two of his albums, but he charges upwards of $1,000. He'll record your song on the internet. He'll record your song on his computer. You'll send him the WAV file. He'll send you a drum track behind it, and it costs $1,000 to do that. It's like, oh! So with technology and everything, there's great ways to make money and to be a good to make a good living at it, as long as you've got all the right tools. So, but drum lessons, if you want to go to be a professional drummer, it's very important to do that. If you want to be a worship drummer, it's not necessarily as important. If you're just going to play at church and that's your main goal, that's your biggest thing is to play on Sunday morning, then that's the case. Me, I wanted to do as much as God would open the door for. So let me put it to you like this. If you want to give God unlimitable amounts of things to do with your gift, if you want to take that gift that God's given you and make it as good as you can go, I think that you would honor the Lord in that. So take lessons, I think. You had a question, sir? In your situation, he's talking about having that lack of finesse with junior high kids and playing, like we were just talking about, like playing the Heart of Worship at a forte volume. A good way to do that is just to keep rehearsing with them, to meet with them on a weekly basis, if you can, away from the sound check and going in. Because a lot of, how many of you guys actually have a rehearsal away from your time of worship? Okay, a couple of you. That's a good practice and a good thing to do. If they need more than that, meet with them in a smaller room and make them more aware of how big they're playing. Because they have to hear that for themselves. It's like, oh my gosh, it's so loud, it's distracting. You know, and you want to get them to the point where it's like what we were talking about, where you're asking them, and you have to keep asking. You have to just keep going, look, you know, I need you to play softer. Can you think of ways to play softer? And there's ways that you can help that where, like, you tell them, okay, through the first verse and the first chorus, don't play. And then when you're at that second chorus and the second verse, you can obviously play with more, you know, you want them at that point to play with a little bit more fire and emotion, right? So that's a good way to say it to them is like, hey, just rest through the first verse and the second verse. With my dynamically challenged drummers that I've had to work with in the past, I've told them, dude, don't even play until we're at the biggest point, because he couldn't handle anything other than that, you know. And now he's gotten to the point where he keeps getting, you know, getting better and better at that, but yet at the same time he still has those tendencies that continue to bother him. So keep working with them, keep encouraging them, let them be sensitized to what it is that they're doing. If you practice in a smaller room, they can hear how loud they're being and how they're not fitting into the music. Those are some of the best ways that I've found. And just keep praying for them too. Pray, Lord, just give them a revelation. My brother, Richard, was playing his snare like so loud all the time, and he saw one guy one night play his kit. And he played so soft, and he was like, he had this eye-opening experience because this guy played the kit so soft, and yet he carried the whole band with his energy. He didn't lose any energy for the lack of volume, which is what we think as drummers. Like, man, I need to give the band everything. You know, no, you don't. There's plenty for the band to have for you to grow in and out of the dynamic shell. Okay, I think that's it. I'm going to we'll spend this last seconds here in prayer. And I just want to pray especially for you guys that the Lord's put that on your heart to be a professional. It's a very tough world out there, but we need more people that love the Lord with all their heart and all their soul to be ministering in those areas. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this group of people. I pray you would just encourage them today. I pray especially for those that have desired to take their gift to professional levels, Lord. I lift them to you now. I pray you would empower them for such a thing. I pray, Lord, that they would have just a sense of your purpose in doing that. Lord, that it wouldn't be just for their own living or their own reputation, but that, God, they would go forth in the power of your Spirit, and that, Lord, you would use them to bring light to perhaps dark places in the world, Lord. I pray that they would just be filled with your Spirit, and that the gift of rhythm and drumming, Lord, that they have in them right now would just be increased, Lord, exponentially as they go out and they serve in that area, God. I pray for those that are involved in worship teams right now, and Lord, many of them have come here today and they're very frustrated with their situation. They're upset about how things have been happening, or their own performance, Lord. I pray you would encourage them, you'd give them fresh ideas and perspective, and that, Lord, they could use some of these things, Lord, that we've talked about today, and that they would be, just as they have that planted into their hearts, Lord, that they would go back with fresh zeal and fresh perspective to their areas, Lord. I pray your blessing on each and every one as they go, and pray, Lord, as we go out and eat and we come back, Lord, hopefully that you would just continue to bless this time at this conference. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.